We all got to go see the doc and have these checkups. But we have to have spiritual checkups too. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves. Well, what's that mean? That means to look yourselves over. Check yourselves out. Have a checklist. Figure it out. So it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know that you are not of your own self. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Lamentations 3:40 says, let us examine ourselves and probe our ways. Okay, let's check out our ways and see if we're in the spirit or we're in the flesh.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Brother Mark preached out of the book of Mark chapter 14, verse 38, as he continued his series on Celebrate Recovery. Brother Mark's message this morning was titled, Reserve a Daily Time with God. And now, Brother Mark.
I've been preaching through the recovery series. Mark 14:38. Jesus said this to the disciples. He said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let's pray. Father God, I pray this morning that your spirit would move in this place in a mighty way. May we all be shaken. May we all be stirred in our hearts. May your word glorify you. May it do a work. And Lord, we'll praise and glorify and honor you. Lord, hide me behind the cross this morning. Give me words to speak, and may we hear from you. Lead us to the throne. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we're preaching through the recovery series. And if we review, the R stands for realize that I'm not God. And the E is earnestly believe that God exists. The C is to consciously choose to commit your life to Christ. The O is for openly examine your faults. The V is for voluntarily submit to God. The E is to evaluate your relationships, which we did last week. And today, the R is for reserve a daily time with God. Today, we're going to be talking about relapse. And I know that every one of us have suffered from spiritual relapse in our lifetime and in our walk. Today I want to talk about how to stay in recovery. The road to recovery, it's not a smooth road, it's not an easy road, it's full of potholes and chug holes and mud walls and rocks and curves and all kinds of problems on the road to recovery. Walking with God is tough work, amen? You know, a lot of people think you get saved, you walk with God, you got an easy life. It's not easy. It's a tough life. It's a hard road, but it's the best road. It's a good road. And we still have this hard road because we live in a broken world. And we still live with our old sinful nature. So we have to fight off the old sinful nature so that we are sure that we're doing what God wants us to do. We face problems and sometimes we fall back into the old nature. Sometimes the old sinful one rears his ugly head and we follow him instead of the Lord God, our Savior. Amen? Relapse happens in a very predictable pattern, though. We can look at it and we can see the pattern. First of all, the thing that happens is complacency. And you and I know that when we're walking with God, when we're strong in the Spirit, when we're really right with God, we're really involved in the things that God places before us. Amen? We're coming to church. We're surrounding ourselves with friends that are Christian friends. We're participating in small groups that God has put before us that are of a godly nature. We're doing the things that God wants us to do. And we're having that daily quiet time. We're spending time with God every day. We're praying. We're seeking His face in everything that we do. And when complacency starts, it's like, well, I think I could skip small group today and be okay. And you probably could skip small group one day and be okay. But then you skip the next time. And then you start to miss church. And then it's your quiet time starts to slip a little bit. I'm really getting busy. I don't have time to spend time with God. I've got these other things. And slowly and surely you slip away from God. And that's how it happens, right? And Satan's really good at putting things in our lives to get us not to do what God wants us to do. And that's his job. That's what he does. And he's good at it. And he knows how to get to us. He knows the things that he can use against us to get us to go away from what God wants us to do and spending time with him. We get comfortable in our life. We get to a place on the road where we believe we can live with our pain. And we don't need our quiet time. We don't need our small group. We don't need CR anymore. And we begin to miss church on a regular basis. And pretty soon, no one's seen us for weeks. People are asking, where's such and such? Where did they go? What happened to them? We might even get a visit. And we say, yeah, I know, I'm supposed to be there. I'll try to make it, but we don't. Second is confusion. We begin to believe that we're really not that bad off. We're in pretty good shape. We think we have the strength within us to keep on the path. We think we're able to do it on our own. And Satan, he keeps telling us, you're okay. You're a lot better than such and such. You're really doing all right. You don't need to do all that other stuff. You're going to be okay. But we forget how bad our life was before we entered recovery. We forget really how bad things were when God wasn't on the throne and wasn't first and foremost in our life. And third is compromise. We go to the place of temptation. We find ourselves back in that old lifestyle. It starts by saying, you know, I think I'll just go hang out with a couple of my old friends. I haven't seen them in a long time. I think I'll just go to a couple of them old hangouts where I used to frequent quite a bit before I entered recovery. I think I'll do some things and cancel some of these appointments with God. And I'll just do these things, and it won't hurt anything to do that. And then we compromise, and fourth is catastrophe. The catastrophe is when you give in to the old habit, the old hurt, the old hate, and it comes back, and resentment comes back, and there it is again, staring you in the face. You've entered into that old habit that was called sin. We need to realize that the collapse is not relapse. The collapse is not the relapse. The catastrophe really started a long time ago, didn't it? It didn't really start when we entered into sin. It started way before that, when we became complacent and we compromised. And then it fell. James says it this way in 13:1-15. Let no one say when he's tempted that I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. How are we drawn away? By our own desires. And we're enticed. Who's enticing us? Is God enticing us to slip and fall? No, the God of this world is enticing you to slip and fall, and that's Satan himself. He's enticing you. He's playing on your desire, and he's enticing you. He's putting things in front of you. He says, watch this. Watch what they do when they see this. Watch what they do when they think that they'll be like this. You know, did God entice Adam and Eve in the garden when Eve says, did God really say that? Or do you think when you eat this, you'll be like God? He enticed Eve, didn't he? And that's what he does with us. He takes the things that we know, that we like, that we think about in our mind, and he entices us to do the wrong thing. And it's our own desire that pulls us away from God, and we're enticed by Satan. And then James says this, that then when the desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. You see, it's a process. You don't just go along and sin. You have this process that's going along, and that process starts with complacency, and then Satan gives you the enticement. He confuses you, and then we're confused with our lack of strength to give into our own selfish desires, and we follow our own desires, and then we compromise. And when we compromise, we enter into sin, and the catastrophe takes place, because James says it this way, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Well, what is death? What is death that the Bible's talking about here? Is death actually physically dying? No, that's not what the Bible's talking about. The Bible's talking about death as separation from God. What separates us from God? Sin. Why? Because God is holy. And God does not allow sin into his presence. And the only way you and I can go into the presence of God is if we're sin-free. And the only way you and I can be sin-free is if we accept Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary when he died for the sins of all the world. And when we accept him into our heart, he comes in and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and he saves us, and he makes us right with God so that we can step into his presence, and then we can pray to him and he hears us. We can come into his presence and he sees us, because we're sin-free, and that's the only way you and I can be sin-free. But even as a Christian, when I enter in and sin and fall, sin still separates me from God. I still have to get right with God. I just can't go along and ignore that sin in my life. I have to come clean. I have to get right. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of me who convicts me of that sin. He's there for a reason. So what can cause a relapse? Well, first of all, selfishness can cause a relapse. Galatians 3:3 says, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit and now being made perfect by the flesh?" It says, don't be a fool. The road to recovery started with the Spirit of God. Amen? When you started on the road to recovery, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He came into your life and cleansed you from all unrighteousness, and you began to walk with him, and you started on that road to recovery. Amen? That's where it all began. And you was in recovery as long as you stayed with God. And did God leave you? No. You walked away from God. And sin entered your life, and it separated you from God, not eternally, because you're saved. Once you're saved forever. But does sin get between you and God even as a believer? Absolutely. It says in the Bible that if we regard sin in our heart, that God won't hear our prayer. So does it affect me as a believer? Absolutely. Sin always affects a believer. So we have to come clean. We have to get right. We have to say that it... Even though I wanted it, even though it's what I desire, it's not what God desires, and it's sin. And it gets between me and him, and we have to come clean. Secondly, we skip out. We get in a hurry. We try to move through the steps quickly, and maybe we want to skip a step or two. Maybe we don't want to forgive those people that's hurt us. And we'll just skip that step. But you know what? Recovery won't work. You have to do all the steps. Every step's important. You know why I believe mental illness is so hard to treat? I believe it's because whenever a mental patient gets in recovery and they get on medicine that helps them, they start to feel okay. When they start to feel okay, they say, you know what, I feel good now, and I really don't need this medicine anymore. And so I think I'll just go off my medicine, and I'll be all right. I can do this. But they need the medicine. And so they slip, they relapse. They go back into their old ways and their old problems. And it's the same with our spiritual walk. Listen, it's just like this. Listen, this is really important right here. The great physician is Jesus Christ. Amen? He's the one that heals. He's the one that forgives. He's the one that gives us freedom, that gives us peace. It's all about Jesus, okay? And when you was asked Jesus to come into your heart, you got some internal medicine. And that medicine's the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit come into your heart, He's the medicine that's inside of us that keeps us on the straight and narrow. He's the one that keeps us in recovery. But when we think we no longer need Him, guess what? We relapse. We slip. We fall. Thirdly, support. You say, I can do this on my own. I don't need anybody else to help me. Wrong. We all need each other. We have to have each other. We have to have brothers and sisters in Christ that we rely on, that support us, that hold us up. And each one of us need each other. We can't do this alone. That's why God made the church. The church is our support system. It's our brothers and sisters in Christ that we know that if we call them, they're not going to point us in the wrong direction. They're going to try to point us back to God, and they know that's where we need to be. We need support like that. We don't need people that'll knock us down. We need people that'll lift us up. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10 says, two are better than one. Because if they have a good reward for their labor, but if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to lift him up. You know, that sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? If you got two people and one fall, the other person can lift the one up that fell. But if you're by yourself and you fall, who's there to lift you up? No one. No one. Hebrews 10:25 says it this way, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Let's not give up the habit of going to church. Let's not give up the habit of fellowshipping as a body of believers. It's important, and God knew it was important. That's why He put this in His Word. That's why He made the church, and Jesus is the head of the church. And we're all followers of Him, and we all come together as a body of believers who lift each other up and hold each other up and support each other. If you were driving a car at 55 miles an hour, would you take your hands off the wheel? You might for a little bit, but guess what? If you don't look up and put your hand back on the wheel before too long, you're going to hear a what's that? That's that rumble strip on the edge of, you're shaking your head like you know what that is. They got that on 13 now, don't they? If you don't get the support you need when temptation comes, and then you don't feel like doing the right thing, who's going to help you? Who's going to be there to point you in the right direction and support you? Fourthly, pride gets in our way. Proverbs 16:18 says this, pride goes before destruction. Pride goeth before the fall. You need to stay humble or you'll stumble. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, so you think you're standing, watch out that you don't fall. Remember how you got where you're at in recovery. Never forget that it's only by the grace of God through Jesus Christ that you got where you're at. And that should keep you humble. Are you standing on the promises of Christ or are you standing on the premise of your own ambition? So, how do I prevent a relapse? Well, that's a good question. We all want to prevent relapses, amen? Well, Mark 14:38 that we read says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. What should we do? We should watch and pray. 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 What are you doing? I'm watching and praying. Oh, what have you been doing lately? Watching and praying. Keep clean, draw close, and wait. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. How do you watch and pray? Well, that's another good question. Watch and pray. He says the Spirit is willing. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. The Spirit's willing. Amen. God wants me to do this. It's willing. But my flesh is weak. So I got to feed the Spirit and not the flesh. Which monster are you going to feed? Huh? You going to feed the flesh? Or are you going to feed the Spirit of God? Amen? So we got to feed God. We got to watch and pray. We got to feed the Spirit. So we got to go into maintenance. And maintenance requires us to do spiritual checkups. And we all have to have physical checkups now and then. Amen? We all have to go see the good doc. Sometimes the bad doc. We all got to go see the doc and have these checkups. Well, we have to have spiritual checkups too. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves. Well, what's that mean? That means to look yourselves over. Check yourselves out. Have a checklist. Figure it out. So it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know that you are not of your own self. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Lamentations 3:40 says, let us examine ourselves and probe our ways. Okay, let's check out our ways and see if we're in the spirit or we're in the flesh. It's easy to figure that out, because if we're in the spirit, it will line up with this. If we're in the flesh, it won't line up with that. Okay, so check it out. Evaluate yourself. Four kinds of inventories. First of all, a physical inventory. What's my body telling me? Your body is kind of a barometer on what's happening on the inside. And what's happening on the inside ends up displaying on the outside. You know, the Bible says that your eye is a window to your soul. When someone looks you in the eye, what do they see? When you look at yourself in the mirror and you look into your eyes, what do you see? Do you see someone that's living in the truth or living a lie? We have to look at ourselves physically, because our body is a barometer of what's going on the inside. Do we have stress? What's my body saying to me? Am I hungry? Am I tired? Am I exhausted? Am I fatigued? Am I stressed out? These are clues that something might be going on emotionally. What am I feeling right now? Am I allowing my feelings to surface? We can do what's called a heart check. H, am I hurting? E, am I exhausted? A, am I angry? R, do I resent anybody? Do I have resentment? T, am I tense? Do an emotional check. Check yourself out. Do you have any of these feelings? Third, relational. Am I at peace with everyone? Am I at peace in my relationships with other people? If you're not, that internal conflict is going to keep you back and hold you back from recovery. Fourth, spiritually. Am I relying on God? Am I attentive to the moment-by-moment promptings of the Holy Spirit? Do I hear the Holy Spirit? And if I hear the Holy Spirit, what's the Holy Spirit saying? And if the Holy Spirit's saying something to me, am I doing what the Holy Spirit's saying to do? Am I following God? Am I right with God? Watch and pray. So what's it mean to watch? Well, I think it means this. I think it means meditate on God's Word. Meditate on the things of God. Meditation is a good biblical word that simply means this: slowing down long enough to hear from God. You know, a lot of us go along pretty good until something happens, and then we begin to pray, right? We begin to pray. And we begin to say, God, I need some help here. These things are happening in my life. I need you to intervene and fix this stuff. But Do we stop long enough to listen to what God tells us to do in order to fix the things? Or do we just send up the prayer and move on? I think so many times we just send up these emergency prayers to God, and we never stop and listen to what God has to say to us. But you have to stop. You have to spend time quietly by yourself with the God and the Bible open, and listen to the Spirit and listen to God, what He says to you, because God's going to speak. He's going to talk to you if you know God as your personal Lord and Savior. He's going to speak to you in your heart of hearts. He's going to tell you some things, but you have to slow down long enough to listen. One time I was fishing in a fishing tournament. And we was catching some fish, and I was noticing this boat. This boat sped over in this cove and fished. And then pretty soon I seen it go over there and fish. And then pretty soon it's back over there, and pretty soon they come by me, and they said, "Are you doing any good?" And I go, "Yeah, not too bad." They said, "Well, how are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I usually have to slow down long enough to stop to catch one." Well, you do. You can't be speeding all over the place and hear from God. You have to stop and get alone with God in your closet by yourself and listen. Because he wants to talk to you. Psalms 1:1-3 says, "Happy are those who are always meditating on God's laws and thinking about ways to follow him closely. They are like trees planted by the river. They don't dry up when it's a drought, and they succeed in everything they do." You want to succeed in all that you do? Be like one of these trees planted by the river, and that river is this Word of God. Stay in the Word. Listen to God. Be close to Him. Spend time with Him, because you'll be like one of them trees, and you'll succeed in all that you do. And this is not a feel-good, everybody's going to be okay sermon. This is just a maintenance sermon. Okay? And are things still going to come my way that I don't like? Absolutely. Am I still going to have problems? Absolutely. But you're going to have God on your side to help you through all them problems. You're going to have God helping you through all them circumstances that come. He's going to be close enough to you that whenever you don't even have to whisper up the prayer, He already knows your heart because you're that close. You know what? When you're doing the maintenance properly, and you go out there into the world, people are going to notice something about you, because they can tell if you've been with God or not. People can tell. They know. They say there's something different about that person. This week, I was down in St. Clair Camp, or Cape Girardeau, and then over at Springfield, and we had training sessions. We had this lawyer, and he was teaching appeals training. This is exciting stuff. It's kind of like January fishing blues. But you know what? After that guy spoke the first time, I could tell he was a Christian. I could tell he was a Christian. How? Because in his speech, he used things from the Word. Even though he was in a secular setting, he used things from the... He said this, "You got to stay humble because pride will cost you big time." Where's that come from? We just read that, didn't we? People can tell when you've been with God. You're like that tree that's planted by the river. You look like you're well nourished. You look like you're well watered. You're strong. You're glowing. People can tell when you've been with God. And we need each other, and we need God's Word to help us on the road to recovery. Notice the benefit. He says, "Those who meditate, they succeed in everything they do." Success is tied to the amount of time that you spend with God. I'm going to repeat that. Success will be tied to the amount of time you spend with God. You want to be successful? Spend more time with God. You want to have more peace? Spend more time with God. You want to have more joy in your life? Spend more time with God. You want to go through the circumstances in life that are tough and just fly through with sailing colors? And spend time with God. That's what it all comes down to, is how much time do we spend with God? Psalms 119 says, "I thought about your words and stored them in my heart so that I would not," what? "Sin against you." I thought about your words, and I put them in my heart and remembered them so that I would not sin against you. That's a great verse. Think about God's Word and remember them in your heart. If you know how to worry, then you know how to meditate. Because meditation is anti-worry. It's anti-worry. Meditation is thinking on the good things, the godly things. God says, think on these things, all things that are good, all things that are lovely, all things that are of good report. If there be any virtue, think on these things. Well, think on the good things. Think on the godly things. Meditate on His Word and His goodness and God's love for you and God's love for everybody. And meditate on them things. And then all the things that are negative in your life will be replaced by the good things that God wants to show you and do for you. Replace worry with meditation. Secondly, watch and pray. Prayer. When you started on the road to recovery, before you began, you may or may not have prayed very much. But once you started down that road to recovery, prayer became very important to you, didn't it? All of a sudden, you find yourself talking to God, speaking with the Creator of the universe, and knowing that He hears you because you've been cleansed from all of your sin. And you're right with God. And when you come into His presence and you speak to Him, you know that He hears you. You have that confirmation that's going on, and you see Him working in your life. You're watching and praying and watching and praying. And as you watch and pray, you see the evidence of God in your life. And the more you watch, the more you see His evidence. And the more you pray, the more you see Him working. And you watch and pray and watch and pray. And because you're watching and praying, God is preeminent in your life, and your life is a life that's following God, and you're successful in all that you do because you're following Him. But when you pray, you're tapping into the power of the Creator of the universe, because when Jesus died, it says that when He died, He went into the grave and took all the sins of the world into the grave, and then God raised Him from the grave and seated Him at the right hand of God to make intercession for you and I. What's that mean? That when we pray to Jesus Christ. We don't pray to Mary. We don't pray to Paul. We don't pray to anybody else. We pray to Jesus Christ because He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And when we pray, He says, "Hey, Dad, such and such just told me that he needs this or that." He's making intercession for you and I. He's the one that's at the right hand of the judge. He's the one that's at the right hand of the Creator of the universe. He's the one that's at the right hand of the all-powerful one, the omnipotent one, the omniscient one, the one who knows everything. He's at the right hand of the Creator of the universe. And when you pray, He hears you, and He's making intercession for you in heaven. That's very important, because Matthew 6 says, this is how you should pray. Now listen, everybody's heard this prayer. This is a prayer that we really don't repeat verbatim. This is a prayer that is a model of how you should pray. And it goes like this. It says, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." That means, how holy is your name? You're saying, "My Father, because I asked Jesus Christ into my heart, and you're living in here, and you placed your Holy Spirit in here, so you're my Father, and I'm your child." So you're coming to God as a father-child relationship. And you say, "I am calling you Father because I'm your child, and your name is holy, and you are without sin to God." You say, "How holy is your name to be honored? May your kingdom come." Is God's kingdom coming? Absolutely. When? When Jesus comes back, His kingdom is coming, and it's going to be heaven on earth. And the new Jerusalem will come down, and all those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will be saved, that are saved, will be with Him forever and ever and ever. In the meantime, all of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we pass, when we die, we are immediately in heaven with God the Father. And we will be eternally, forever and ever. So His kingdom is coming. He says, "May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, do we pray for God's will? Absolutely. We want God's will, right? That's what we want. We want God's will in our life. We want God's will in America. We want God's will in our workplace, in our schools, in our community. We want God's will first and foremost. Give us today the food we need, our daily bread. Do we get it monthly? No. You get it daily. Why do you get it daily? Because God wants you to spend time with Him every day. Give us today our daily bread as we spend time with you. And forgive us of our debts as we forgive what? Those who have debts against us. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Is that what we want? Maybe. You know, if we haven't come clean, if we haven't forgiven all those who have done things against us, maybe we don't want that same kind of forgiveness. But we want the forgiveness of Christ in our life, amen? We want to be clean. We want to be free of our sins. So forgive us our wrongs. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen? That's what we want. Notice it says, this is how to pray. This is how we pray. We pray our Father in heaven. We realize that I'm not God. That's step one and two, right? Step one and two. I'm not God, and that He eternally exists. We're recognizing that in this prayer, right? And the second thing is, may your will be done and your kingdom come. That's voluntarily submit to God. That's step five. And give us this day our daily bread. That's step three. And it's also the maintenance step today. Amen. And voluntarily submit to God. That's step five. And step three, consciously choose Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Forgive us our debts. That's step four, right? Relationships. We were supposed to evaluate our relationships and forgive other people. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. And forgiving others, that's step six, evaluate our relationships. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's today's step. You know, the steps in Celebrate Recovery started a long, long, long time ago. They're in God's Word in that actual prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. Recovery is as old as the Lord's Prayer, and even before that. In conclusion, as Phyllis comes and Lori comes to lead us, what are the steps to relapse? Well, the steps to relapse was complacency. We start to fall out of fellowship with the church and fellowship with believers and fellowship in our small group, and we start to fall out of our quiet time with God, and then we compromise. We do something else. We replace the things that God wants us to be doing with something that we want to do. And then Satan says, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You're going to be all right. Don't listen to him. He's the father of all lies. God is not the author of confusion, but guess what? Satan is. And he wants to confuse you. And then we have catastrophe when we sin. How does it happen? Selfishness, or we skip out, we skip a step, or lack of support. We alienate our Christian friends, and we get friends that don't help us in the right way. And then pride gets in the way. So what's the prevention to relapse? Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Psalms 119. I thought about your words and I stored them in my heart so that I would not sin against you. Replace negative meditation, worry, with positive meditation, God's word. Pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Would you pray with me now? Father God, we've heard your word this morning. We felt your spirit move. We hear you talking to us in our heart. Lord, this morning there may be those here that have walked away from you, but Lord, it's only one step back. And it's that prayer that you'll hear when you say, Lord, forgive me. Restore me. I want to be back in recovery. I want to be following you again. I want to be close to you and to my Christian friends and the things that you place before me. I want to be close in the church. I want to be close in my small group. I want to continue on and celebrate recovery. I want to do the things, Lord, that you call me to do. Lord, there may be one here that for the first time in their life, they've heard you. They've heard your voice. And you're saying to them that you love them. And you want them to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to ask Jesus to come into their heart and live within them and forgive them of their sins so that they might have a right relationship with you, so that when they pray, you'll hear them and they'll be successful in life. And Lord, that you'll save them eternally and take them to heaven when they die or when you come back, and they'll live with you forever. Lord, there may be those here this morning that have never become part of a church, but they would like to join a church, and Lord, we would accept that decision this morning too. So Lord, as we come to this decision time, don't let us tarry, don't let us wait, don't let the evil one tell us it's okay, but Lord, let us hear your voice. Let's follow you and make decisions for you. And you'll bless them. And all these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to be singing page 325. Would you stand with me?
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in a local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.